is to educate you about the house and tell you the condition it's in, and then so you know. And I tell people I'm a storyteller. I don't write the story. I just tell the story of the house. And in Hunterdon County, there's a lot of stories. There's brand-new homes, and there's 225-year homes that I've done in Hunterdon County, and they all have a story to tell. And I can tell you that a 220-year house sometimes is in better shape than a 2-year-old house. So there is no rhyme or reason. It's just a matter of a condition, and so you know what you're buying and you know what you're paying for. We're going to do the weather. Today is going to be sunny. It's going to be a beautiful day. 60 degrees high, 40 low. Tomorrow, they're calling for rain. Now, I had heard snow earlier in the week, so don't panic. It's not going to be as good as a blizzard, but you may see some freezing rain, so be careful. A high of 63 tomorrow and a low of 35. So I would assume if we're getting the precipitation late in the day, you got to watch out for that ice and be the first ice of the year, first snow. So I still think as wacky as our weather's been, it's still better than most of the country. I mean, if you look at the country, some people are buried in snow already this year. Other parts are suffering from heat waves and fires. So I guess New Jersey's still the Garden State here. Friday, going to be mostly sunny, going to be a beautiful day. And on the weekend, it's going to be partly cloudy with a high of 47 and 58. With a low around 30 to 40. It's a good weekend again. Get out there, look at your house. The inspector in me tells you to check out your house, check out your gutters, clean your gutters. It's going to get really cold soon, and those jobs are going to get harder and harder to do, and you don't want to go through the winter with clogged gutters or loose shingle or a loose chimney cap. So get out there, look at those things, and if you can't do it, get somebody to do it this time of year, because once that snow and ice comes, there's a lot of things that you can't do outside, and I recommend that you get it done now so you have less damage this winter. We're going to take a couple minutes, but my guest today is Patty Fisher Dolly. She's president and owner of Sunrise Title Insurance. And if all of you out there who need title insurance, I mean, we've all bought it. We all know what it is if you bought a house. I mean, we all know that we have to have it. But do you really know what it is? I honestly, I know it insures my title, but I don't know what it does. I don't know. I just realized the other day that somebody told me that I have it for the life that I own the house, which I never knew. You pay for it once, and you have it forever. But Patty's going to be here going to explain some things to us about title insurance, why we need it, what it is, and why it's a value to us, and maybe some horror stories of things that when you don't have it right, or thank God that you had it. I'm sure she has some of those that people never thought they needed it, but then they found out they did, and it protected them in the long run. So when we get right back after our couple commercials, we'll be right back. Thanks.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're back. Live on Hunterdon County Radio Station, you're listening to Larry from Home Again with Jeannie and Larry. And Jeannie will be here next week, so if you're looking for her, tune in next Wednesday at 11 o'clock. Patty, maybe you can tell us a little about yourself. This is Patty Fisher Dolly. And Patty, maybe you can tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Sure thing. Thank you, Larry, for having me come onto the show. I am Patricia Fisher Dolly. I have been in the title industry since 1998. 2006, I started Sunrise Title Services. Our home base is in Belvedere, New Jersey. I do have a branch office in Alamutu, New Jersey, as well as Rockaway, New Jersey. Have not yet ventured into Hunterdon County, but I am looking in that area.
Belvedere is not too far away.
Not too far away, right. It's the county seat for Warren County. As I understand, Flemington is the county seat for Hunterdon County. Cool. So there's a lot of history there up as well, and that basically is what title insurance does. It protects you from the history of the property. It is a one-time purchase for the time that you own the home. Although if you refinance, then you will have to purchase title insurance again, but that is for the benefit of the mortgage company, not for yourself.
Oh, see? Now, so what am I protecting against when I buy title insurance?
Basically, I tell people that it protects you from the skeletons in the closet, so to speak. It protects you from any history and anything that has occurred in the past ownerships of the property. Basically, from we search generally for a period of 60 years past. However, we have gone through and gone into the early 1700s to double check and make sure that there are no outstanding liens or encumbrances against the property and that there are no people that are going to come out from the shadows stating that they have an interest in the property.
So you mean to tell me if I buy a house today in 2019, somebody from 1950 can come out of the woods and says that, yeah, you're my grandfather, you owed my grandfather money, he had a lien against his property, and you owe me this money.
That's correct.
Even though I just bought it from somebody who probably maybe not even had a clue that there was out there either.
Correct.
I mean, there could be three changes of ownership in between that nobody ever knew, and all of a sudden somebody comes up with it because they find it in an estate will or something that there's a lien. And it has to be filed, I assume.
That is true. There are what we classify as ancient documents that could be overwritten by a title insurance agent. But if an individual claims to have an interest in the property, example, we did a search for some property in Oxford Township in Warren County. And the title search has gone back to the early 1900s where they state an individual owned the property. I could not find any recorded documentation as to how that person acquired ownership. My suspicion is that they had inherited the property, as in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there were a lot of New Yorkers buying lots in Oxford, and they don't reside in New Jersey, so none of their documents are recorded in New Jersey. For that person to receive clear title, searches would actually have to be done in New York to find out the heirs of the individual who previously had a recorded deed in their possession.
So I mean, and especially in Hunterdon and Warren County, you have some of these properties that date back to, you know, I did a house that was 220 years old, so you have a lot of history in that piece of property.
Absolutely.
That may or may not be justified. But the title insurance, so what does it, I mean, does it, it insures me against that. So if somebody has a claim, do you pay me? Or do you pay off the, you know, suppose somebody comes, I buy title insurance and you find nothing. And then somebody comes out and has a valid claim on the property. Does the title insurance insure me against that?
The title insurance will insure you against that. That is correct. So the insurance will protect you so that you will not lose your home. So it will either pay off the person who claims they have an interest in the property. If they do, research will actually be done prior to, but the insurance company will protect you so that you are not out financially or actually lose the home.
So
that you purchased.
It's just like auto insurance in a way. That you,
correct.
You may fight the person and you may choose to take it to court and everything else, but I'm, in a sense, because I own the insurance, I'm out of it in a sense. You're protecting me, and then what you do is either settle it or settle, you know, make a decision, I'm sure, based on financial.
Correct.
Sometimes it's cheaper to pay them off than go to court and win.
Unfortunately, that is true. But yes, that is the case.
I found that, you know, I had a rude awakening about the legal system when I was president of the Board of Ed. And the Board of Ed, if you don't know, I mean, probably gets sued once a month by somebody. And many a times it was unjustified. But when you're spending public money and the lawyers tell you it's cheaper to pay off than go to court and win, it's kind of depressing, but sometimes this is the right thing to do.
That is true. That is
true. When they tell you it's $12,000 to make them go away, or it's $25,000 to go to court and win, and you have a risk of losing still.
Correct.
You know, the insurance company will pay the $12,000. You take the $12,000, and which is sad because the people get unfair enrichment, which they shouldn't get anything.
True. About. True.
But that's part of the thing. So that's why a homeowner needs that title insurance, and then mortgage companies require it because they want to protect their loan.
Yes. Yes.
So that's why you have to have it. I mean, if you buy a house cash, do you have to have title insurance?
Owner's title insurance, absolutely. You should always have owner's title insurance.
But that's a choice then at that point.
That
right?
is a choice. It is an optional choice. However, many of the attorneys in the area, as well as title agents, do highly recommend that an owner obtain title insurance to protect them from the past, because they have to remember, sometime down the road, they're going to sell that property that they own, or their heirs will have to sell the property. And if anything occurred in the past, your heirs or yourself will have to deal with that issue at the time you go to sell to a third party.
It sticks to the property.
It stays with the property. That is correct.
So basically, you're buying insurance that there's nothing out there.
Correct.
And because subsequent to where maybe the technology gets better, maybe that agency in New York computerizes their records and it shows up in a subsequent search. It's what you're saying could happen.
That is correct, and that has happened on occasion.
Right. I can imagine, because I mean, I know a lot of government agencies go back and they've been digitizing and something that may have never showed up all of a sudden shows up.
Right. We do have paper documentation, but it's not set up properly in the computer or it's misindexed in the computer.
Right. And you can imagine looking through all that. I can only imagine what the title search entails.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, I mean, because you got a piece of property that's 200 years old and changed hands 30 times, and those people have taken out loans and liens and everything else against the property that have been closed and opened and closed and opened.
Right, and we've had individuals pass away, so we have had to search the records to see if they had a will. And if not, then the individuals who are heirs to that individual need to be contacted.
Okay. And so you tell me, if somebody left a piece of property to somebody, but they didn't find it at the time of their death, those people could still come back at a later time and claim ownership of the property.
Yes, they can. There's no statute of limitations.
Wow. See, that's interesting, especially when you get some of these complex properties with multiple owners, and or even some of these bigger properties, like when they build these tract houses. They buy a big piece of property from somebody and then they divide it up. So now you're talking about maybe, there's a lot of owners to a piece of property that might be encumbered.
Correct. And then in doing those types of developments, larger developments, when they go to the municipality, there are certain requirements and restrictions that the municipality may impose upon the property.
Yeah.
And those restrictions and impositions, 9 times out of 10, carry with the land. And if the search is not done, one or two of those items could be missed, and then the subsequent owner is then responsible to adhere.
So you're actually discovering even restrictions on the property.
Absolutely.
So you're not buying a piece of property you think you can build a house on, and it's restricted you can never build on it or something.
That's right.
See, I went through that. In the fire company in Raritan Township, we got a piece of property donated on Barley Sheaf Road. We built a third station, but the deed was restricted by the township to be a fire station in a substation only.
Only,
They didn't want us to run like the bingo out of it or pancake breakfast out of it. I mean, we had a main station for that because it was in a community in a housing development. They wanted it only to be the response.
Yes.
They didn't want it to be a public building in a sense.
Correct.
And that's interesting because if we ever went to sell it, that would go with the building. And
it yes,
would,
it does.
It would affect the saleability of that property, which probably would never happen, but it's still out there.
Right, and the only way to remove that restriction would be for the municipality to
like a variance. You'd have to go through with that, and I'm sure the neighbors would have a say in it and everything else. Now, let me ask you, though. Okay, I buy title insurance, and it's protecting my mortgage company as well as me, but when I pay off my mortgage, does it continue to protect me?
Yes, it does. At the time you purchase your property, you purchase, in actuality, two title insurance policies. You're purchasing one for yourself, which is an owner's policy, and that insures you for the entire time you own the property. You also purchase a mortgage insurance policy or a loan policy on behalf of the mortgage company, which protects them on the amount of money that they are giving you as your mortgage.
So it's similar to my car insurance in a sense. I'm buying it and it's insuring my car insurance protects the loan.
Right.
Because they own the title until because technically I don't own the house until I pay off the loan.
No, you do own your house. You do have a deed to your house. That is something that...
It's a little different thing. I guess I don't get the title to my car until I pay it off.
Correct, correct.
Whereas you do get the deed to your house.
You do get the deed to your house.
There's a lien against it.
There is a lien against it. That's correct. And then when that lien is paid off, that mortgage is to be discharged in the county clerk's office, and then the mortgage policy is no longer valid. If you go to refinance your home, which is a good time to do that now, check with your local mortgage officer, you will again be paying for title insurance. But that title insurance is for the benefit of the lender in the amount of the mortgage that you are obtaining from them.
But you pay it once, so you don't have to – it's not like an ongoing premium.
Correct.
You pay it at time of, really at closing, I guess.
That is correct. You only pay it once. It's not like the normal insurances that we have where you pay annually every year for as long as you have the insurance. Title insurance you pay once at the closing, and that protects you – as I stated previously, for the entire time you own the home.
Now, let me ask you, I heard this, and correct me if I'm wrong. It protects me from the time I bought the house backwards, but I could encumber that house that it doesn't protect me for going forward.
Oh, that is correct. Absolutely.
So it really protects you from the time you bought the house. And then because there could be liens placed against it after that date that the insurance company would have no knowledge of at the time of the policy.
That's correct. That's correct.
So don't think that you can't create encumbrances on your property when you go to sell that are new within the policy.
Right. And then you have to address those issues.
Right. So the insurance is really for you, from people before you, not after. You
know, correct. From the past.
I mean, I've had stories where, husbands and wives are getting divorced and one of them has encumbered the property, you know, taking a loan out or a credit card debt or taking a refinance and taking it out against the property, and the other one didn't know.
That is correct. That has happened on numerous occasions,
right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but then you go to sell the house and you find out that, you know, that there's somebody saying, hey, wait a minute, you got a $30,000 loan against this property. You got to satisfy that.
Right. And another speaking of that, a lot of individuals take out home equity mortgages, right, or HELOC, as they are called. They are actual liens and mortgages on your property. So they have that availability of you can draw against it and you can pay it down to a zero balance. A lot of people pay them down to a zero balance but are unaware that it is still a lien on the property.
Right, it's an open line of
revolving. It is an open line, right. Yeah. So when people go to refinance and their loan officer asks, how many mortgages do you have on their property? Individuals are only thinking they have one primary mortgage, but a HELOC actually is a mortgage as well.
Right.
And they are the items which give title officers nightmares, HELOCs.
Because if they miss it, the person can turn around and write a check the next day for $30,000.
Right.
And now encumbered the property for $30,000.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, I had a revolving line like that, and when I refinanced, they had to close all old loans. You know, you had to prove that you closed all the old loans.
Correct.
The Bank of America had to issue a closure, I guess.
You know. Right. You had to sign a document stating that I no longer want the HELOC and you're authorized to close it, right, and discharge it.
Yeah, they discharge
with the
it just
county
like
clerk.
They discharge it just like a mortgage.
Yes.
In a sense, even though there's no balance in it.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I went through that. And they also can make you do other things like credit card debt and everything else. If you're refinancing to get rid of the credit card debt, they want to see certain things paid off.
Right.
Because they're not giving you that money. They're giving you the money to refinance and to get rid of your debt, not to, you know,
leave that open and incur more debt.
Even more debt, right. Because most credit cards are not secured on that. So the mortgage company wants that more than probably the title insurance, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
So is there different kinds of title insurance? I mean, what's the difference? I had heard that title insurance is kind of regulated, right?
Title insurance is regulated in the state of New Jersey. That is correct. There is a regular owner's policy, and then there is an enhanced owner's policy. I don't issue the enhanced owner's policy. I only do the regular policy because I basically feel that they provide pretty much the same insurance. And my philosophy in my office is you only charge what is actually needed to be charged for a transaction. Example, we have the availability of charging a settlement fee anywhere from $300 up to $550, depending upon the pre- and post-closing processing which is needed. Our office, Sunrise Title Services, charges a flat rate $400, and we do not have a separate line item for pre- and post-processing. $400 is good enough.
So basically you're averaging, you know, because some of them may take a lot longer than...
That is true.
I mean, a property that's very confusing or had a lot of changes is a little harder than, say, a brand new property that's, you know, on land that you know wasn't encumbered.
Actually, it doesn't even matter about the encumbrances on the property. It basically is the settlement aspect of it, and we can have settlements that occur within 15, 20 minutes, and then we have others that we can sit there for 3 or 4 hours. It just depends on the circumstances on each individual real estate transaction, residential transaction.
Okay. So what do homeowners look for, though? I mean, because or do you find most of your customers come from the agent in the sense that, I mean, because I don't even remember picking my title company. I don't know if I did or not. I just don't know whether it's 30 years now, so don't get me wrong.
You probably did not pick your title insurance agent. Usually that is done through your attorney, as he is your representative, so he knows the professionals that are required and involved in a transaction. So he will hire a company who he's comfortable working with. He has the knowledge. Although I am finding that the homeowner is a lot more educated than they have been in the past, and they are prior to...
The internet's a very dangerous place.
Prior to entering a contract, they're already out there researching surveyors, title insurance agents, home inspectors, insurance companies. And they have the right to do that because ultimately they are the individuals paying the invoice at closing. Sure. So while the attorney has in the past always basically controlled that aspect of the transaction, homeowners are taking it upon themselves now to reach out to individual parties and advise the players in the game, so to speak, that they choose to utilize the services of various different professionals in the transaction.
I also find I'm meeting more title insurance people, so you're marketing more than, you know, and since you're out there talking to the end user more than
yes.
in the past, say.
Yes, educating individuals.
Well, you have to be because the competition is there. In
right.
In a sense, and if you're not out there, I'll find somebody else. So
this is true.
Whereas when I did it, I didn't even know what it was. You know what I mean? All I know is I kept writing checks. You know? I mean, you know, and I still see it it's funny when I see the young couples and they're like, how much is, you know, I need a septic inspector. Well, I arrange those, but I don't bill for them because if I bill for them, then I got to mark them up.
Right.
And people say, why do you got to mark? I said, well, you got to understand, I got to pay insurance on everything I do. And if I mark it up, then I get charged insurance based upon the volume of my business. So, and I also have to accept a certain amount of liability. So people don't understand that, you know, and they say, but they, people say, oh God, how much is that? How much is this? And I see it in their face. They're just writing check right and left. And
right.
That's why it's important, I think, to have people in the process that really want to do the right thing.
And yes.
I find that because these people are usually at wit's end in a sense. Sometimes they're moving from out of the area, which makes it difficult because they're only here a certain amount of time. Till they settle,
right?
They're looking. They trust people. They're putting a full faith in their agent.
Exactly, and it's the biggest investment that they're pretty much making in their entire life. So
if
they're
listening
to
my shows, I tell them that the home is your single biggest investment, other than your 401k, probably
yourself. If your investment in yourself, correct?
Exactly. I mean, the 401k, most people don't administer themselves unless they're a day trader,
right?
And I stopped that years ago and let somebody manage it that watches on a daily basis. God knows I'd have an ulcer by now if I was watching it on a daily basis,
right?
I just like to see it in the quarter and it keeps going up, so that's all that matters. But anyway, it's funny you say that because they rely on these professionals, and I think that they're very susceptible to people taking advantage of them. But you're saying that title insurance companies, it's regulated in a sense, but there is some difference though. So there's a reason to do your homework.
There are some parameters. We're allowed to charge certain different items, but the state allows it. Some agencies charge them across the board. Others don't. Unfortunately, our industry, as well as any industry, you have...
Well, you have unscrupulous people and you have
to watch,
you know.
Right,
But I mean, it doesn't...
For the most part, we're all pretty good, though.
It also doesn't mean that just because they're charging for it, it's a bad thing. People make livings.
Correct.
You know, people say, oh, you charge for that? Yeah, I do. I mean, if I have to go back to a house, I charge for it.
Right.
And it's not that because I want to. It's because I'm not doing something where I would be making revenue, so I have to cover costs. I mean,
right. And we get audited. That's one thing in the title industry. We not only get audited by our underwriters, we also get audited by the state of New Jersey.
Department of Consumer Affairs.
They come in and check our books. And if there's something in there that they don't like, they will definitely tell us about it. I have three underwriters. So all three of those underwriters check my books annually. So I fortunately have passed with flying colors. And I pride myself in that fact. And the staff that I have is phenomenal. I would not be where I am today if it were not for my staff.
Well, it's important because, you know, my father was a Bureau of Securities investigator for the state of New Jersey. And he'll tell you, you know, you can get away with it, but if you get caught, it's brutal. I mean, with things that, you know.
And bottom line, everybody gets caught.
Eventually.
Right.
I mean, because
everybody
gets audited to a certain degree. And most people, as he used to tell me, honest people can't lie. It's not like TV people. You don't sit across from an investigator from the Department of Consumer Affairs and say, "You got nothing on me. I'm out of here." You know, I mean, you sit there and sweat. And most honest people will tell you what they're even doing because they'll say, "Hey, I didn't understand this," or you know,
right.
My father would tell me stories where you know he says that you know the guy that sends in the four lawyers that are making more than the whole bureau is going to get away with it because he's going to buy that in a sense. But the average person that's out there doing business isn't a liar.
Right.
They're intimidated by investigations.
True.
They'll start sweating.
Yeah.
I mean, and he said you'd be surprised how many people just sit there and you just look at the books and then they'll start telling you things.
Right, right. You want to do what's best for the consumer.
So don't think it's like TV where, you know, you see Law and Order or something where the guy's in the investigation room when he slams the desk and says, "You got nothing on me. I know my rights. I'm out of here." You know, when somebody comes in with a badge, you sit down and shut up.
And I've never seen Law and Order have an issue with a title insurance agency. So.
I know that. I'm just saying it's funny.
Exactly.
I'm talking
right.
about investigation.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm sure yours is not with gun and badges. It's more with books and contracts. I mean, I'm just trying to give I love the way TV just distorts a lot of things.
Yes.
My biggest thing is HGTV. I love HGTV. I really do. But I go crazy watching home improvement shows where they give a price to the house and they're going to open up this house. And I'm like, that's a load-bearing beam. I can see it from here.
Right.
And they get halfway through the show and they're like, oh, the budget. We got to take this beam out. I'm like, well, wait a minute. You knew that when you started. I mean, if you didn't, you shouldn't be working in the business. I mean, you know, you got to figure something's holding that house up. You know, it drives me. My wife goes, well, you know what's going to happen because it's so like any reality TV. This, you know, they're going to start the house. They're going to run into budget problems. They're going to hit a beam that they didn't expect.
Right.
I mean, they're going to do it. It's
right.
Like every show, it's the same script. It's just a different house.
Yes, exactly.
But as a home inspector, it bugs me because I'm like, I could tell that from my easy chair that that open concept ain't happening in that house without a lot of money.
Right.
And,
right.
And also, we've never seen a $12,000 kitchen in New Jersey.
No, true.
I haven't seen it yet. My counters cost, I think, $12,000. Never mind the rest of the kitchen. And you know, but they go on TV, how much is that kitchen? Oh, $12,000. I'm like, what are you making it out of, paper mache? I mean,
right. Yeah.
Have you been to Home Depot? Have you priced cabinets lately?
Right.
But so when do you get involved? When does the title search get involved? Is it? It's before closing, I know. But when should a homeowner start thinking about the title search process?
Title insurance should actually be started after, naturally, the contract is signed. It's provided to the attorney for their attorney review, so the attorney can make sure that the contract is written in a way that it protects his client, and if not, he will make revisions and amendments to that during the attorney review period. Then there's a home inspection period,
right,
as you're well aware, and home inspection can either make or break a deal. So we usually like to advise our attorney clients to not order title until after the attorney review and home inspection period has taken place, because why incur additional costs to the homeowner if they're not totally sure that they're actually going to buy the home?
Patty, you must have been studying my old shows, because I tell people to do it in stages like that. I said when people want the inspection before attorney review is done, I said don't do it. Schedule it, but don't do it till your attorney's done, because your attorney takes the deal apart. Why pay me?
Right.
But I will take exception in a sense. I always tell people I don't make or break the deal, because I tell the condition of the house. Really, the value is what breaks the deal, and that's really a question for your realtor. Because people say to me, does the house pass or fail? No, I don't pass fail houses.
Right.
I state condition. I give descriptions. And then you got to decide. I said, you know, my house, I bought it. I put three bathrooms in it, kitchen, windows, siding, and a roof on it before I moved in.
Right.
But I was paying $100,000 below list.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I knew that because the realtor had told me the comps and what the houses are worth, and I know what I was paying. So it made it still a good buy.
Right.
I tell people I did a house down in Freehold. It was a $1.2 million house, but it was selling for $700,000. It needed $150,000 worth of work because the owners actually walked away from it 2 years ago and just left it.
Wow.
Upside down house, and the bank got stuck with it. And so guess what? It needed $200,000, but still a good deal.
Right. Right.
Because you can put $200,000 in it, and you're still $300,000 in equity in the house if you can afford $1 million house.
Right.
But so that's why I say a good home inspector shouldn't pass or fail a house, and a good home inspector shouldn't make or break a deal. A home inspector that's breaking a deal isn't doing his job.
Right.
The real estate agent, in conjunction with their buyer, should make that decision, help make the buyer make – and even a realtor shouldn't make the decision, but they should explain it. I mean, you're buying a house – I did a house the other day in Morristown for a lawyer, a friend of mine, and he's looking for an investment property. It's selling for probably $100,000 below, but it had 2 feet of water in the basement. The sump pump was running full bore, and it wasn't even denting the water. There was a spring underneath that house that was feeding it, and it couldn't get rid of the water fast enough. That house needs $100,000 worth of water remediation from the top.
Right.
My advice to him was that you need $100,000. You need a serious water remediation. Now he's deciding whether he still wants it or not.
Right, and that'll be his choice. You need to disclose.
And he still may do it because he's going to get a water guy in there. If the guy gives him a $50,000 bill to fix the water, that house may still be worth it because he could buy it for $150,000 below market, spend the $50,000, fix the water, and sell the house and make $100,000.
Right.
And that's what flippers do. Their flippers are very good. The good flippers are very good at that. The bad ones don't get enough equity, and then they're trying to nickel and dime the house, and then they don't do a good job. The ones on TV, sometimes they're misleading because, you know, Tarek and Christina don't flip a house without making $100,000. And
close to it, right?
Yeah, every time. I'm like, right. Well, how the hell did you get that house at $150,000 below? Because there'd be a bidding war for that house at that price. But, you know, that's TV. Don't think you can get into that easy. If it was that easy, there'd be a lot more people than Christina and Tarek, even though I love watching some of those shows. They are entertainment people. Remember that.
Yes.
That is not a formula for success. It's an idea, but there's a lot more to it. And unfortunately, I mean, they don't show the failures, and I wonder if there are many. But then again, there are people throwing houses at them because they want to get on TV too. So you and I don't have that luxury.
Right, we don't.
Yeah, yeah, we don't have that inside phone call that tells us when the house is going. You know,
that would be nice, though, wouldn't it?
I'd probably get arrested for insider trading. those guys don't, but I'd probably somebody would go to jail saying that you got insider information from the county or something, you know. Somebody in the sheriff's office told you about that, didn't they? You know, I'd be like Martha Stewart going to Connecticut, you know. But I wouldn't go to the country club in Connecticut. I'd end up in Rahway in hard time or something, you know.
Right.
I got a kick out of, and just as a side note, I got a kick out of Felicia Hoffman there. She did she had a sentence of 14 days. She only served like 11 because she had good behavior. and then she's in a prison where her husband comes to visit her. She walks right out the front door and sits in the car with him. I mean, there's no guards or nothing. I'm like, wait a minute. They're making a big deal about it. I'm saying, wait a minute. The poor guy that got caught with a joint in Newark is doing 3 years in Rahway.
Right.
And she's doing 14 days in a Holiday Inn. So don't get me wrong. It's just it's funny how things get so skewed, right?
Right.
Hey, we're going to take a couple minutes, and then we're going to come back. Maybe we can talk about maybe you have some stories that things that have gone well and
sure.
Where you've delivered in a sense. Because I'm sure the reason why you do insurance is for those situations where things happen.
Things happen.
And it's nice. I mean, my brother was a life insurance agent for Liberty Mutual before he passed away, and he said his best days were when he got to hand a check to a widow. So what do you mean? I said, doesn't that suck? He goes, yes, it does. But it's still, when you walk into somebody's house and they got two kids and they're in high school and you hand them a check for $500,000 because the husband took care of the insurance and the kids are now going to go to college, mm-hmm. It's a great day.
It is.
And he says, and that means I did my job because I protected that family. They get to stay in their house and the kids get to go to college.
Right.
Because I sold them the right policy. You know, he says, you buy insurance and never die, or you die alone and somebody gets $500,000 freebie. That's not a big deal. He says, but you walk in and there's a family of four sitting there and they don't know what they're doing next week, and you hand them a check so they can pay for the burial and they can pay for school next year. He says, it's a great feeling. Mm-hmm. So it's funny. I bet your title insurance is the same way, in a sense that when you protect somebody, it's got to be a good feeling that you did it right.
It is.
So we'll come back and we'll do that a little bit. But then, so let's take a couple of commercials because I have to pay the rent here. Again, you're on Huntington County Chamber Radio. Don't forget the expo tomorrow. It's from 1 to 7, I believe, or 2 to 7. Look it up. I'll find out the times for you. But it's tomorrow at the ice rink over there on Case Boulevard. So, We'll take a couple minutes and then we'll be back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
All right, we're back. Okay, I got the details on the Hunterdon County Expo tomorrow. It's 2 to 7 p.m. at the Next Level Arena on 426 Case Boulevard. So if you're around tomorrow, it's an expo and food showcase. So lots of food. Last year, they had all the restaurants there, had all samples. ShopRite had a big spread. You get to try this. It's like going to BJ's when they have the free samples on the end of the aisles. But they had actually Chick-fil-A was there last year because they had just opened and they gave away chicken sandwiches, which were a big hit. You think the line's long at the Chick-fil-A, you should have seen it at the expo. And I believe the two radio hosts from 101.5 will be there at least at the beginning of the show, and they usually host it. So we'll see you tomorrow. Patty, let's talk about a few things about stories, because I it's sort of like when I do a house inspection, when I teach courses, I love to throw up pictures and talk about the things that we did. Yesterday, I was so proud of myself, I found a gas leak. I did a house in Basket Ridge, and there was a gas meter outside, and I had my little gas detector, And it's never gone off before, and I'm doing the meter outside, and I put it on a knuckle, and it was leaking gas. And you wouldn't smell it in the air because it was dissipating pretty quickly, but when you put your nose right down on the knuckle, it was leaking pretty bad. And it's not a big deal because out in the open air like that, it's dissipating pretty fast. It's not in danger of blowing up, but it's on the other side of the meter. So these people are paying for this leak, and if it's been leaking for the last 5 years, they're paying for gas that's evaporating.
Wow.
But I was so proud of finding it, and then we called the owner, and the owner called the gas company. Before I left, the gas company showed up, and they fixed it. It took them 2 minutes, but it's kind of nice when you're right, you know what I mean? And I'm sure in your business it's the same thing, that it's nice to be right once in a while, or actually to see the value of what you're doing. Because I guess the success of your company is when there's no action.
True.
I mean, nobody cares when there's right. when I bought my house 30 years ago and there's been no claims against it, and if I sell it and there's no problems, I'll never appreciate that title insurance. So, what maybe you have some things that you want to talk about that. What are some things that have happened over the years that maybe people were like, damn glad they bought the title insurance?
Uh-huh. Actually, there are numerous cases out there. A lot of them are, as you said, far and few in between. So to speak, when you buy your insurance, you write a check for something and fortunately never have to utilize it. But there are times when title insurance is needed and required. In some particular cases, it would be a husband and wife own a home and they are going through a messy divorce. But yet they want to sell the house, so the husband is taking control over everything. So rather than have the wife sign off on the deed because she's moved out 10, 15 years ago, his girlfriend or paramour would come in and pretend to be the wife and sign the deed over to the unsuspecting buyer who is buying the house, and they have their title insurance. And then a couple years later, the wife comes around and is like, comes to the house, knocks on the door because she can't get in, and who are these people living in my house?
Wow.
That particular case, the title insurance will come forth and address the issue and the situation to make sure that the new homeowners remain in the home and they do what they have to do with the spouse, go after her ex-husband or husband or whatever. A lot of other issues, that's individual issues, but then we have more documented issues, so to speak. If there is a home equity mortgage, which is not picked up in title, it was paid off, it had a zero balance, and everybody is like, well, it's a zero balance, it doesn't really matter. It does matter because it is still a lien on the property. So
yeah, I can write a check on that 2 weeks
exactly,
later.
Exactly. The homeowner who sold the home finds his checkbook and is like, oh, well, you know what? I need to buy furniture for my new place, and writes a check. That lien remains against the home he sold, and he doesn't write.
So that in a way has become, it's probably one of the newer things, because like the revolving lines have been around for years, and since open lines, like I even have a credit card for the open line.
Right.
Whereas past, in the past, if you got a second mortgage, it was like getting a mortgage. You had to sit down, you had to file paperwork, you had to sign a million documents, you had to get a check. You got a check right there and then, and that was the amount.
Right.
This is sort of like cash in the sky, and if it's still open, the bank doesn't know it.
Right.
And I, like you said, I go out and buy a car with it. I mean, I actually bought a car on a home equity loan once.
You're right. And then there's a lot of fraudulent documents which are executed out there. In the title industry, I chuckle and I tell people that we not only are title agents, but we are detectors.
You're title policeman.
We are, and we are a therapist, and we're, you know, it's all circumstances occur for whatever particular reasons, and individuals feel they have to share that with us, and they don't have to, but we listen to it. I did a refinance for a family probably about 18 years ago now, and that individual had to pay off $180,000 worth of credit cards, and we don't judge. Everybody has their own story. I have my story. You have your story. So the individual basically felt as if she had to tell me her story, which she did. And it was an absolutely awful story. Had to do a lot with medical bills, unfortunately, in an accident that they were in. So they had to live off their credit cards because they had no other income coming in at the time. So when they finally got to a position in their life, they refinanced their home and basically rolled all those credit cards into a first mortgage.
They went from 21% to 3.5% or 4%.
Exactly.
Over a 30-year term.
Right.
And also then they don't have that line anymore. So that's good things. But you're right. I mean, and I find that too. I get in this conversation, people start telling me why they're moving and everything else. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It's not that I don't care, but I have a job to do. But at the same time, people are people. And you're right. That you're talking about the baggage. It's funny because I tell the story about, you know, I think it was Dale Carnegie. I taught Dale Carnegie sales. I said, if you could put all your troubles in a suitcase, walk into a room and put it in the corner with everybody else, on the way out, you'd search for your suitcase.
Right.
Because everybody's got the baggage.
Right. I mean, we all do. We all do.
And I think social media's twisted the world in a sense, because people only see the 10 seconds of good things in everybody's lives, and you think you're missing out. My daughter calls it, you know, the fear of missing out, that people are, they see, oh, yeah, somebody's on vacation. Oh, why can't I go on vacation? You know, why? Oh, they got such a great life. Well, you know, everybody has 10 seconds of good time. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and unfortunately, social media has made us so much aware of that 10 seconds and not the other 23 hours a day that people might be in pain.
Right. I like the good aspect of it when we do attend the settlements with the attorneys. You know, we work hand in hand with the attorneys. And
now, attorneys, I meant to go there before. Attorneys big in North Jersey. Most of the country and most of South Jersey, there's no attorneys involved.
That is correct.
So is the title people filling the role of the attorney in a way?
No. Okay. We are an entirely separate. We do not provide legal advice at all. South Jersey and the rest of the country, yes, they do rely strictly on title agencies. Up here in Northern Jersey, attorneys are still very involved in a transaction, and we work hand in hand with those attorneys. They provide the legal aspect and advice to the consumer. We do the title work and, as I call it, paper pushing. We work hand in hand. We run everything through our trust account as opposed to the attorney. So we basically try to make the attorney's job a little bit easier, and yet we all have the same purpose of getting to a closing and having a very happy seller when they receive their net proceeds check, and an extremely happy buyer knowing that they have just bought their American dream.
And, you know, it's funny because your description is similar to what mine is. I like having the attorney involved. I have a lot of counterparts across the country that don't have attorneys involved, and they get involved in negotiations and everything else. I produce a list of conditions at a house, and then I'm done, in a sense. And the attorney usually takes that list, and they're professional negotiators.
Yes.
Especially a real estate attorney. And I tell people, one thing is, if you've got a friend that's an attorney and they're not a real estate attorney, get a real estate attorney.
That is correct.
Because there are certain nuances. That's sort of like going to a divorce attorney for a liability suit or a liability attorney for a divorce. You want to find the attorneys just like anybody else. You know, you don't want to hire a mason to do woodwork. You know, I mean, it's that specialized.
Right.
And a good real estate attorney knows the ins and outs and won't tie things up and slow things down, and they'll know what they can and can't do and what's negotiable, what's not. They'll know the rules on radon and water tests and stuff like that. They'll know what's acceptable and not acceptable.
Right, and the regulations change.
Oh, yeah, and they're huge. I mean, 4.0, if you got a radon reading of 3.9, you don't get mitigation from the seller. You got a 4.1, you get mitigation from the seller. I tell people I'd rather have it 4.1 than 3.9 because 3.9 is just as bad as 4.1, but you're not getting any help with that remediation.
True.
So, I mean, those are things that an attorney can negotiate and knows how to deal with the other attorney. And it also takes the ugliness out of the hands of the buyer and seller. It keeps that relationship civil.
It keeps it professional.
Yeah,
correct.
Because then the buyer and seller are really not the ones that are sitting at the table negotiating. The two lawyers are going to negotiate for their clients.
And the buyer and seller are emotional at this point.
Yes.
And for whatever reason.
Well, first of all, the seller, when I do an inspection, if the seller's there, they're emotional because it's their house.
Right.
And they fix things and they spent money in it and they don't like, I don't like when they're there because it's difficult because they take it personal, which I understand. Just doesn't make my job easier.
Right.
But yet the buyer's emotional because they want the house.
Yes.
And they don't want anything wrong with it. And when there's something wrong with it, they get disappointed and they get depressed. And as you say, they're spending a lot of money.
Right.
And I certainly don't want to become the hurdle to them unless there's conditions that they really need to know about. My father's house had brand new windows, siding, and a roof, but inside it was 1967. Let me not fool you. You walked in, it had gold spackle floors, had a turquoise kitchen. Turquoise kitchen. It had three bathrooms that hadn't been touched in 30 years, and there were seven of us living in that house. Guess what? The three bathrooms had to be gutted.
Right.
The tiles were absorbing water. Mm-hmm. The toilet looked like it was going to go through the floor. I mean, you know, and so we sold it at the right price. I got an agent. We sold it $50,000 below market. The person that bought it gutted the three bathrooms. And put a new kitchen in and blew out the back wall and put a deck in the back. You know, things like that. But you do it right.
Right.
And that's where a good agent, you know, in our world comes into play because they put all those pieces together, make sure that you have your lawyer, you have your title, they know all those little steps to close. And that's why Jeannie is my partner here and you tell she works so hard for her clients.
The realtors that we work with also do a spectacular job for the clients, whether it be on the sales side or the buy side.
Right.
And that's where a good professional comes into play. And they know the professionals in the field to properly refer and recommend to either their seller or their buyer.
And they're doing the same thing that I'm doing. People think, you know, it's a cop-out when I see an electrical problem. I refer people to a licensed electrician. And I describe it as a... You go to your doctor and you have a heart problem. He listens to your heart and he sends you to a cardiologist.
Right.
He doesn't pretend to do heart surgery.
Right.
If I found myself in front of a judge and the person got hurt doing electric work and I told him how to do it, the judge would look at me and say, Larry, do you have a license to practice electricity? And I say, no, sir. He goes, then what the hell are you doing?
Right.
It's the same thing, guys. I mean, hopefully the good people you deal with, the professionals, know their field and know when to refer you to the specialist for other things.
Right. Right.
You know, the attorney knows, like you say, the attorneys know title companies are comfortable with it. They know they're going to do a good job and they're going to be a fair price and they're going to protect their clients. They, you know, real estate agents know home inspectors. They know people who are going to protect their clients. And again, though, you always have to watch out because there are always people out there thinking that, you know, if they're living on their last buck, sometimes they're anxious and they need to do things that they shouldn't do.
Right.
But that's, you know, that's no different. Unfortunately, I think in these situations, it can be dire. Because if you buy a house that has a huge lien on it or something, you could get, it's sort of like getting your identity stolen. It's just a nightmare. You might not be guilty of anything, but it's just a nightmare.
It is. Well, tomorrow, example, we're also licensed in Pennsylvania. And myself and two other staff members are going to an all-day continuing education. As the rules and regulations change, we need to be updated, and we are required to receive continuing education. So that's one thing that we definitely strive to make sure that we get our education in a timely fashion. Usually we have a 2-year period in order to get our required credits.
Just like us.
Right. Yeah. So we don't wait to the last minute to do a mad rush to get them all done. We get them done throughout the year so that we can stay on top of the rules and regulations and changes in the industry.
That's one thing that people got to be aware of. A licensed professional is different than a registered professional. You know, to be a contractor in New Jersey, you have to register with the Department of Consumer Affairs. I could register as a contractor tomorrow. I call them up. I fill out the $250 paperwork, send it in. They send me a registration number. That doesn't mean I'm licensed. It means I'm registered. Doesn't mean I'm good at woodworking or good at kitchen repair. It just means I'm registered. Licensed professional. And unfortunately, people use the word wrong. I mean, if you see a contract with license on the side of his truck, it's wrong. It should say registration. Now, if he's a licensed electrician, CEU requirements,
right.
7 years of training, schooling, certifications, a licensed home inspector. I got to go to school. I got to be an apprenticeship. I got to keep up 40 hours of CEUs every 2 years. I got to carry a certain insurance, otherwise my license is void.
Right.
Same thing with you. Same thing with realtors. Realtors have a CEU. They have a code of ethics. They have a board to answer to. A guy who sides your house doesn't have a board to answer to. I mean,
right.
The Department of Consumer Affairs, if they get enough complaints against him, will investigate him. Mm-hmm. But then they got to find fraud. If he's a bad contractor, it's too bad. Whereas mine, if people would turn me into the advisory board, they're going to look at my home inspection reports and they're going to judge them and they're going to either fine me or send me back to school or take my license.
Right.
So it's the same thing with you in a sense. So be aware that the professionals that you deal with have a lot of there's a lot of cost up front that you don't see. And that's one reason why also when you think of the costs that are behind a lot of these things, there's more to it than that. I mean, people say to me a tank sweep is $250. I said, yeah, but think of the liability. Somebody's going to sweep your property and tell you there's no tank there. Now you find a tank there, guess what? He's going to be digging a hole and digging out a tank.
Right.
And you're talking about seeing 6 feet below your ground. I mean, who can? I mean, you're asking for a lot of expertise,
right?
And a lot of risk analysis, in a sense. So, but Patty, is there anything that you want the public to know? I mean, first of all, I want to make sure you give your email address, your contact information. People feel free to call or email her. Patty's a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure she'll help you with that.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you joining me today.
Thank you. If anybody does have any title questions whatsoever, please call the office. My staff and I are licensed, so we can answer any questions that we have. My company is Sunrise Title Services. My phone number is 908-852-6555. And my email address is patty@sunrisetitleservices.com. And that's Patty with a Y. And we do also insure all of New Jersey and Pennsylvania as well.
Okay.
And we will go for refinance purposes if the individuals choose not to use the services of an attorney. We will do the work for them, and we'll do the closings at their home, in our office, McDonald's, Burger King. We've gone to some very strange places to do some closing. But we do what we can to best accommodate the consumer, and that pretty much is why we're here.
Well, and that's big today because, people wonder why I do inspections on Saturday and Sunday because, not everybody gets to have an unlimited time off.
Right.
Some employers are not as nice as other employers, mm-hmm. And they may have taken a few days or they may have been sick or they have family or and all of a sudden I'm doing an inspection Sunday afternoon. They say, why do you do that? I said, that's when people are off.
Right.
But that's how I could do the radio station Wednesday morning. So, mm-hmm. You find the people that are willing to work with you and work with you and trust the people that you work with, I hope. I think title insurance is one of those things that I'm glad you came on because I don't think I ever understood it. I know I bought it. I know I have it. I never understood until somebody told me that it's still in effect.
Yes.
Even 30 years later, it's still
right.
in effect.
Yes, it is.
And it's protecting me. So when I go to sell this, if somebody comes out of the woodwork and says, the builder never paid his employees and there's a pending litigation against his property, I don't have to worry about it. I'll call my title insurance company. Now, let me ask you, do they go out of business? I mean, is it something that happens? I mean,
there are title agencies that do close shop, basically retirement or other reasons, personal reasons. But the purpose of us having an underwriter is that they have all of our records. So if a particular agency does go out of business, if the individual has their title policy, that is probably the most important document in a real estate transaction is the title insurance policy. The deed and mortgage and any other document is recorded in the county clerk's office. The title policy is not.
That's interesting because I have to go home and check because I
absolutely.
I keep pretty good records.
We tell people keep it in your safe deposit box. That is what you need.
Mine's in a fire safe, but I keep everything together. Like I have you know, oil tank information I have.
Right.
But I don't know about the title insurance policy. I have the old mortgage. I mean, I've had a couple revolving loans over the years that have been closed, and I have the stamps from the county saying it's discharged.
Right. And that's public record.
But like you said, that's less worry because if I lost it, you could always go to the county and
exactly.
have it on record.
And the title insurance policy is not recorded with the county.
So finding that information would be half the battle.
Right. So you need to retain that copy yourself. If you cannot find it, you can check with your attorney, if your attorney is still in business. Yeah. If not, the policy would have one of the top title insurance companies in the nation, and they do have records of all of the policies that are written under their
direction. So basically you're underwritten by a company that's ongoing.
Yes.
If that company went out, somebody else would buy those policies.
Absolutely.
And stuff
yes.
like that.
Yes.
Okay. So you are. So it's not like a... It's not like some window manufacturers that go out every 5 years because then they have a claim, you know. I mean, remember the old rust proofing in cars? They used to do rust proofing at the dealer, but it went out of business every 3 years. Therefore, they never had a rust claim.
Right.
Because every 3 years, you used to get rust proofing at the dealer, and it used to say, this is not associated with the dealer, you know. And then a company, Z-Bar, somebody wouldn't be there the next 4 years from now when you had rust.
Right,
you know.
Right.
You know, it's because you wonder why you buy stuff. I mean, an extended warranty is only as good as the company that you buy it from.
Yeah.
But that's good information. I'm glad you said that. So people look for that policy. Make sure you put away with your stuff. Put away with that important bit work. And as Patty said, either in your safe deposit box or at least have a fireproof safe in the house. And if you don't know what a fireproof safe is, look it up. I have a fireproof safe. It actually has crystals in the walls and the door, and they melt and they release vapor. So it could be 2,000 degrees and it doesn't burn the contents. If you don't have a fireproof safe, a regular safe, and you have a fire in your house, that basement gets cooking. Guess what? Your documents, you open the safe, there won't be much left.
Right.
And also get it up off the floor because the fire company's going to fill the basement full of water. I know that from experience because being an ex-fireman, we filled many a basement full of water. Water does more damage than fire most times.
Yes,
you know?
It does. Yes, it does.
But, Patty, thank you for coming. Patty Fisher, Sunrise Title. If you have any questions, follow up. My email address, as you guys have heard many times, is lmcentee, L-M-C-E-N-T-E, at hometeam.com. Hometeam does home inspections, as we said before, and hopefully you guys are having a great fall. Remember, the expo is tomorrow from 2 to 7. Over on Case Boulevard at the Next Arena there. So if you're around, stop by. I'm going to go to it actually this year. I don't have a booth because I have an inspection in the morning, but I'll be there, and all the realtors will be there. All the local businesses will be there. Stop by, say hello, get some free samples. There's a lot of giveaways. It's interesting because you might not know the neighbors and the local business. And in the effort of the chambers also to grow business in the local area, because the healthier the business is in the local area, the healthier the community is. And we all like full employment, which is a good thing, but it doesn't come by itself, guys. Buy local, buy people you trust from, and buy from your neighbors. That's always a good thing. So this is Larry and Patty. I'll be back in three. Actually, I'll be back after Thanksgiving. Jeannie's taking the next 2 weeks. I'm teaching a course the following week, so I won't be here. Jeannie's going to do next week, next Wednesday, and the following Wednesday. Then we're off for Thanksgiving. The Wednesday of Thanksgiving, we're off on the 27th. I'll return in the first week in December, and hopefully I'll have a guest by then, and we'll see you then. Thanks for listening. Appreciate your tuning in, and again, send us questions and answers. We'll get you answers. Thanks. Have a great weekend, and enjoy it. Bye.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
An interesting poll that doesn't ask how you're going to vote, but what you expect the results to be. 56% of respondents in this new national poll say they expect President Trump will be reelected. The Politico Morning Consult survey of 2,000 registered voters also found high levels of enthusiasm for the election among both Republicans and Democrats. 92% of the respondents say they are likely to vote in next year's national elections. A hospital in Fayetteville, North Carolina, safe and secure after an officer-involved shooting this morning of a suspect who was taken into custody last night for an alleged home invasion.
Suspect started experiencing medical problems, so he was brought to the hospital here.
And the Cumberland County Sheriff says after he was, the suspect struggled for a deputy's gun and a Fayetteville cop shot him dead. This is USA Radio News.
Do you wish you could get better sleep and maybe lose a few pounds? Maybe more than a few pounds? Well, there's this product called Calitrin that helps with both sleep and weight loss. Just listen to what people are saying about it.
I've been taking Calitrin for right about 3 months, and I've lost 24 pounds and 19 overall inches. But my sleep has improved, I have so much more energy, and I have the desire to succeed more than ever. Anyone who needs weight loss, more energy, and better sleep, this product really does deliver.
Hi, I'm Roger. Over the 3 months that I took the product, my sleeping habits are increasingly much better. I got a better night's sleep, and I just can't say enough about the product and how it makes you feel. Also,